Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
Hey parents, welcome back to The Journey. This is Dan Panetti. Got a couple good friends. We're talking about the Chosen Conference coming up. I'm super excited about this. But Tim and Michael, I want you to tell our parents who you are, kind of what positions you serve here, and then we'll kind of get a little bit of a background of why we're talking to you guys about foster care and adoption specifically, because I know this is kind of part of your story. So Tim, start us off. Let parents know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Matthews. I serve as a minister to adults at Prestonwood Baptist Church.
Adults and some children.
That's right.
Like me.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes, you're
that's
my right. adult minister.
That's exactly right. And it's a joy to serve you, Dan.
Remember, people are listening.
That's right. So oversee our adult discipleship ministry at the church.
And you do a great job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So been on staff 8 years, married 16 to Katie, three kids, all PCA Lions. We go sixth, fourth, second.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
That's awesome.
That's us.
Awesome. Michael.
Yeah, minister over the life recovery area of our church. A long explanation for that, or the short explanation, I should say, is we help people recover the life that Christ intended.
Yes.
And so it could be anxiety, fear, loneliness, abuse, addiction, but that's kind of what I oversee. The reason why the Chosen Conference is so near and dear to me is because we were the recipient of a gift. Her name is Michaela, from birth. Her mom chose life. She walked into a Planned Parenthood in an effort to abort that baby, and something in her got up and walked out.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
So we received her, like I said, at birth.
Yep.
She is now 8 years old, PCA Lion. We also have Bella, who is 20, and then we have our son Grayson, who is 23 years old.
That's amazing. Yeah, and Bella and Grayson graduated from here.
Right. Bella did. Grayson moved over to a different school to play tennis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he was a lifer until his junior year here at PCA. Yeah.
And he's married now?
Married. Officer in the Navy.
Yeah. Out on the East Coast or something.
East Coast.
Right?
Exactly right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. So tell Tim, the connection to the conference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So much like Michael, it was in part of God's sovereign plan for mine and my wife Katie's life to be the recipient of a blessing from God. As I told you, we've got three kids. So our oldest two, Paisley, are sixth grader here, and Molly, are fourth grader, biological. And JJ, we call little man, he's our eight-year-old second grader. We had the privilege of adopting him as a newborn 8 years ago. Mm. And obviously, huge God story, and not only in just God, what he did in our own heart and in our own life for foster care and adoption, and his heart for foster care and adoption is clearly stated in his word, but just how he allowed us to be a part of that and to be a part of the solution. And much like Michael's story, JJ's birth mom was homeless, 7 months pregnant, chose life, knew she could not care for him the way that he deserved, and we had the privilege of working with an agency who was working with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, who introduced us to her and to the situation. And literally 3 months after meeting birth mom, we were at the hospital, and we were there for his birth, and he's been a part of our family ever since. And so obviously adoption, foster care, these are things really near and dear to both of our heart. So really, really grateful that God allowed us to be a part of it.
Yeah. And that, you know what, for each of those ladies that chose life, that's a pretty miraculous story in and of itself in today's particular culture where there are so many opportunities, right, to easily, conveniently, organizations out there, as you mentioned, Planned Parenthood, right, is, I mean, it's an organization out there that's looking to make abortion, right, safe, you know, and just a simple procedure, right, where you can just eliminate an inconvenience to so many people, right? They don't even consider it a life. And so it's a very difficult thing for a young person who's in a difficult situation, or really any age, right, to make a choice to bring a life into this world, sure. right? And a lot of people who are doing that, it's kind of like, I don't know if I can raise this child. I don't know if I have the resources. I don't know if I have this support system. It takes a lot to raise a young person in this day and age. And so for those women to choose life, right, and then to allow somebody else to come alongside and say, hey, listen, let me help you, right, with the difficult aspect of parenting, adoption, right, and then foster care, we'll talk about that, kind of the difference. That's a really unique conversation to have, right, that, you know, our church is obviously pro-life, has been from the very time that, you know, when I came here, when Pastor Graham was here, this church was pro-life, and it was, you know, at a time when that issue was very politically divisive. I guess it still is today. But, you know, it's remained that. But so many people have always said that those churches that are pro-life are really pro-birth. They're, you know, they just want the woman to have, you know, birth and then they leave her. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. Right? We just had a program with our pregnancy center, and they're talking about all the different programs that they provide to support women who want to raise their kids. Right? Now, you two are part of a story, right, where the women chose not to. So you guys are raising those children as your own. Now, you mentioned, right, that, you know, a particular verse in Scripture kind of points to that being a responsibility and opportunity of the church. So what is that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scripture, one, two, you know, our pastor has always had a saying ever since I've sat under his leadership as my pastor, that we don't want to just curse the darkness, but we want to shine a light. And so as a follower of Jesus, for us, what better way to honor a mother's decision to not abort a child and brave enough to say, hey, I can't care for this child. Would you, as a follower of Christ, me and my wife, we thought, I mean, what a better way to honor and really put money where our mouth is in terms of what we believe and actually living it out. And so James 1:26 and 1:27, I think, is just clear, straight from Scripture. You know, James does such a great job of helping us understand what true, authentic, saving faith is, what that looks like. I mean, that's why he wrote that letter. And he tells us, right, that true and pure religion is this, is those who take care of the orphans and the widows in their distress. And that's God's heart. It should be our heart. And obviously, you can play many different roles in widow and orphan care. But for us, this is what we know God was calling us to do.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we've grounded it.
Yeah, you can take that verse specifically, right, and say, what are we doing specifically for widows and orphans? You can take it also sort of metaphorically, yeah, right? What are we doing for those who are oppressed,
vulnerable,
or distressed,
yeah,
or the vulnerable?
That's right.
Right? So they don't just have to be a widow or an orphan. Mm-hmm. It can be anybody who's in need.
That's right.
And you can read that verse, I think, in the same way that James is saying you have to put feet to your faith. Right, you have to look for opportunities as you've been blessed to be a blessing to others. So who are those people, right? And obviously, right, and especially in that particular culture, right, a widow or an orphan, right, widows, right, women without a husband, right, would have been, you know, less than anything else, right, an orphan without a family, right? But today, even though the culture has changed significantly, right, those are still two areas and, you know, specifications where you'd say, yeah, widows and orphans are still in difficult situations. So if you really want to just, you know, look at that concept and say, okay, well, what are you doing specifically to help those particular communities? I think it's still a good question that we need to ask, right?
Absolutely.
As the church and as Christians who are the, right, you and I are the church. It's not the building across the street. It's us. So not just, hey, what is our church doing, which is a lot, but what am I doing, right? Dan Panetti. Right, I think that's part of the conversation, part of the question you need to ask.
Yeah.
Was that your story as well?
Ours is similar to that. So my wife and I, Christina, well, like I said, we had Grayson and then we had Isabella. No problems, seemingly. Mm-hmm. Then we tried to have a third. And we went through miscarriage and another miscarriage and another miscarriage. And finally, we arrived at a place where we thought this emotional roller coaster, this up and down thing, you know, we're just going to limit that.
Right.
And so we made a decision to take measures that, you know, we weren't going to have to worry about miscarriages anymore. But in the midst of all of that, there was still this longing, still this thought in the back of our head, boy, I really wish we had a third. Yeah. We really believed that was something for us. But we just went on with life. I mean, at the time we adopted Michaela, Grayson was 15, Bella was 12, 13 years old. And then this opportunity presented itself. This woman who was in trouble came into our existence, our lives. We went down to pray with her, believing that the Lord would provide the right family for her. And at the end of our prayer, she, lo and behold, looks at both my wife and I and says right to our face, will you guys adopt my baby? And James 1:20, yeah. There it is, pure and undefiled. Now, granted, we had talked about it, so it's not something that we just said yes right away.
Sure.
But we had prayed about it and thought about it, and the answer was yes, obviously. Yeah. You know, when you look at Scripture, James is a great way to go, but take a look at the life of Jesus.
That's right.
He was adopted. Now, we don't think about that because we're thinking, wait a minute, Mary was, oh yeah, Joseph, his dad, adopted him into the family. And I think that's one of the reasons why this adoption story plays such a vital role, is because clearly an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, in essence, you're going to adopt that kid.
Yep.
This is my heart. Adoption is my heart. Yep. And so when this word comes up, I think every person feels it in them. I know Tim did, obviously, but every person who hears that word adoption, they kind of perk up, because that is what Christ has done for us in our moment in which we received him and entered into an heir, an inheritance as a son or daughter of the Father.
Yeah, it is a beautiful physical picture of the spiritual reality.
That's right.
And the word adoption is used in Scripture to remind us that we've been adopted into the family of God. And so you guys are doing something physically, right? You know, that God has done spiritually. So it's a great picture for a young person to realize, right, you know, who is my family, right? Well, those people who love you.
That's it.
You know what I mean? That's the whole concept, right? Biology doesn't determine family.
Correct.
As much as the love and the appreciation, right, of somebody who's saying, hey, I'm going to make a commitment for you, right? And that's what you guys are showing to everybody around you, right, is I can love because I have been loved.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you make such
love
a
is great.
You make such a great point on from a spiritual standpoint, right? Because of our sin, we are spiritually orphaned, we are alienated, we are separated from our Heavenly Father because of our sin. But yet in Christ, what did he do? He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, so that we place our faith and trust in him, we are then adopted into his family, into God's family, to your point. We're heirs, right? I mean, it's just a beautiful picture, for sure.
So why the conference? Because here's the reality. I think what I understand the reason for the conference is because this is a great need that we need to raise awareness, right? Because the way we're talking, it seems like, well, everybody would agree with us, right? And really, there shouldn't be any need for adoption, because as believers, you would see the need, right? And you would say, okay, you know, Lord, give me the capacity, open up my family, you know, let's, you know, put the resources that you've blessed us with to be a blessing to other people, right? And there wouldn't really be a question about it, but yet there is. In our particular culture, there are a lot of children in need, right? The foster care and adoption system has way too many people in it. And so this conference is to really raise an awareness to this particular issue, so that churches can begin to hopefully, right, raise that awareness within their members to say, this is something we need to step forward and do. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're looking at?
That's one of the tracks that we have, actually, is to equip or empower churches with the information necessary that they can begin or start an adoption and foster care ministry within their particular congregation. That's one of the aspects. The other part is the engage, which are people just walking around. They hear the word adoption, they hear the word foster care, and again, like I said, it kind of does something to you. Mm. And like, I'm not sure I want to adopt or foster, but what can I do to help?
Yes.
And so everybody plays a role in this. Trust me, Tim can attest to this too. Friends, relatives, people, neighbors, they all play a role in helping a family that is chosen to adopt or foster care.
Yeah.
And then the last aspect of this conference is the equip. The equip track is what we're calling it. Helps families who are strongly considering or interested in foster care and adoption, or are currently adopting and fostering, because it comes with, you know, as we mentioned earlier, some unique challenges. I say challenges, more like opportunities,
both.
Where we can demonstrate the love of Christ.
Yeah, flip the coin over. It's challenge on one side, opportunity on the other.
But it's like any child.
Right.
Even a biological child that you bring into this world comes with its own unique set of opportunities. Let's just go that way.
There you go.
It's no different with a foster child or someone who you are choosing to adopt in your family. It goes across the board. The most important thing is the family itself, the structure itself, and the atmosphere that child's brought into.
Yeah.
Because we can't have the mindset we're doing something to help God out. I think some people might approach foster care adoption kind of like that.
Okay.
No, we are actually doing what the Lord has asked us to do.
Right.
It's not for everybody. But I do know that whoever you are, whoever you're watching out there, you do have a role to play.
That's right.
And that's where this conference comes in and says, here's what you can do.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have that question of, like, what can we do, right? Like, we understand adoption and foster care. We understand the need, but what does that look like? What does that mean for me? And while me and Michael and our family, right, we felt very strongly that physically adopting a child or fostering a child, right, is what the Lord is asking our family to do. You know, when we were navigating what exactly does this mean for our family, we had to ask those questions to ourselves, is what does that mean for us? We know we have to do something because the scripture is clear that this is part of God's heart, so it should be part of our heart,
right,
in terms of what we should do. But what does that mean? And so our journey began much like y'all's. You know, we went through miscarriage and infertility, and maybe God has different plans for us and our family and how we're to have kids and raise kids and all that kind of stuff. And then lo and behold, you know, we ended up having two biological, no complications, no problems. But that desire during that season of suffering where God started opening up our eyes to adoption and foster care, right, we were asking, what does that mean for us? And that began by supporting. We had friends that were going through the adoption process, and so we knew that they were trying to raise money because it's not cheap to adopt a child and to work with an agency and things like that. And so our journey began by helping support our friends from church and other believers with their adoption. And, you know, and then it kind of grew from there in terms of what that looked like for us. And so I think in a lot of ways, this conference is not only just to highlight the need that is out there, but also to give people practical, tangible things. Hey, here is how you can serve the kingdom of God this way when it comes to foster and adoption, whether that means you pursue adoption and foster care yourself for your family, or what does it mean to look to come alongside a family like mine and Michael's as we're going through that process and in trying to navigate it all. I mean, there's just so many ways that as a church we can come alongside and be a part of the solution.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the church, because here's where I think the life groups are so vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, you're not just talking about, you know, well, maybe I don't know anybody who's, you know, looking to adopt or foster. It's like, okay, get in a life group and start doing life in a community, and you'll find somebody, right? You'll find somebody, and then you'll, like, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I support you?
Right.
How can I, right? How can I take the kids for a while you and your wife go and do, right? It's just, it's a natural part of what the life group ministry is all about, is doing life in community with other people. And I think that's the reality, is, you know, if God has laid on your heart, hey, you know, God wants our family to adopt or foster, great, right? But you're going to need a community of people to help you as well. So you need to be in a life group and in a community. But if you're in a life group and a community, right, you need to be looking and saying, who are the people that I can support? And this is one of the things that I think that's part of the awareness that's being raised, right, is, right, look around you and see who's doing this and how can you come alongside.
Sure.
And I think the prayer aspect is so important, just to find people, you know, hey, we're thinking about adopting, we're thinking about fostering, can I pray for you? Right? And can I join you in prayer so that God can make his will, right, known to you? And then just the difficulty of you're making a big sacrifice. You mentioned it.
Yes. I hear what you're saying.
I know. Financially, it's a costly endeavor.
Okay.
Right? And so sacrifice might be, it's the Lord's money. You're a steward of it. I get what you're saying too, right? It's not a sacrifice.
No.
It's God's money.
Right.
Whatever he wants to move it towards, right, then that's where you should be putting it. But it is costly, right? And I think one of the things is it might be something where I don't know if we can do that. And I think that's why the community is so important. Let me pray for you, right? God has provided in so many different ways for our family, right, for your family, that it's amazing when you step out in faith to watch God say, hey, because you've been obedient, watch me provide for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's our story. I mean, when we came up for adoption, we did not pay one penny in the adoption process.
There you go.
Not one. We mentioned it to people. We told people that this is what we're pursuing.
Yep.
And anonymous, in most cases, these monies would come in. Here's some help with this. Hey, let me help with this. Yeah. Here's this. Here's that.
That's the body.
They just rise up because they want to help. People want to help. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I really do. And so when you make it known, watch out.
Yeah.
Because people are going to.
I'm glad you balked at the word sacrifice. I am, right?
Yeah, Dan, the way I look at sacrifice is nothing is a sacrifice if the Lord has called me to do it.
What does Scripture say? Obedience is great.
Obedience
greater than
is
sacrifice.
Great. Yeah. So, let's just roll with that
let's
one.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's still just stick with the Word of God and what it says.
Because Christ was the one who made the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't even a sacrifice to him.
It was obedience.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it was done out of love. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured whatever. That's the way I approach this. What we're any child is like that.
Yeah.
But for the joy of Grayson, I set this ahead. Bella, I mean, we can go all through Tim's family, too. Yep. There was a joy that was expectant, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to allow that to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. I love that. So what have I missed practically speaking, right, for families to know about how they can support foster care and adoption, right, other than, right, okay, this might be something the Lord's laying on my heart to do myself, to support somebody else. Is there something else about this conversation, right, that people are going to say, hey, that's something I hadn't thought of before?
Well, I think that's, I mean, shameless plug. I mean, that's why we're putting on this conference, because this world of foster care and adoption, I mean, it's a big world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things to navigate and a lot of different avenues, a lot of places you can get educated for the good, for the bad, right?
Yeah,
so we want to make sure that we're putting together a conference that people are going to be able to come to and walk away and have practical, tangible things that they can do as they walk in obedience to this, whatever that looks for. So bringing in keynote speakers, bringing in people who can do breakout sessions, very specific, targeted, you know, breakout sessions. It's just going to be such an opportunity to edify the body and to build us up and to equip us, which is why our three pillars, right? Engage, equip, and empower. And that's what we want to do. And Michael leads our task force for the Chosen Conference. And so I know he's been in the thick of lining up breakout sessions and all these things to help.
There's like dozens of breakout sessions, it looks like.
There's 50 breakout sessions.
Several dozens.
Several dozens.
Several.
Way to go. Somebody's been working
more than several.
Several dozens.
Yeah, but here's what we have these. We have these national speakers coming in. I mean, this is not just granted, it's taking place in the DFW area.
Right.
But we have speakers coming in from Tennessee, from Washington. They're coming in from all over the place because they have the information, and like I said, they are experts in this arena of foster care and adoption. And to Tim's point, there's a lot of information out there about foster care and adoption. Not all of it's good.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we want to focus on, you know, the horror stories of foster care or whatever else. It's going to be a truthful conference. I mean, we're not going to, you know, diminish the reality of what is necessary.
Sure.
But it's also going to be a conference that says, here's the reality, but here's the solution. Here's the truth, but here's the hope that you have moving forward.
Yeah. I think one of the things, if I remember correctly, when we were talking about when you're looking to adopt, one of the things, and I'm assuming they do this with the foster care family as well, but they look at your home, right, where they come in and they like do a home visit.
Home study.
Home study.
Yep.
Yeah. And I thought, you know what? We ought to be doing that for everybody who has children. Am I wrong? Right.
Depends on who's doing the evaluating.
Totally. Right?
But
imagine, right? Imagine the idea of saying, hey, is your home fit to bring this child into, right? And what are they looking for? I mean, right? They're looking for a stability, right? A love, an environment where a child is going to flourish.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is that's important for every child.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? Not just a foster child or an adopted child. It's important for a biological child. It's important for every child to have a home that has the stability, that has the love and the nurturing to say what's best for that particular child, and the discipline necessary,
right?
To be able to, I mean, when, you know, Scripture talks about, you know, arrows, right, in the hands of a warrior, right? You want your arrows to fly straight and to fly true. And so there's an essence to that knowing God's best for that child is an important aspect of that parent to be able to say, here's what's right and true and good, and we want you to focus on that. And here's some things, just like in the world of foster care and adoption, you said, hey, there's some, you know, some misinformation, some bad information out there. Well, there's some things out there that are trying to get to our kids that we need to protect them from.
Yeah.
And so from a parenting perspective, I think this is a good reminder to all of us, right? Whether you're, you know, raising a foster child or adopting a child, it doesn't matter. If you have a child in your home, from a parenting perspective, this is a good kind of gut check to say, what's your home life look like?
That's right.
And how can I better that environment for the children that God has given me? And I think it's a good reminder for us from that particular standpoint, from the conference, right? Everybody needs to go, mm-hmm. right, and look for, hey, God, how do you use me? But then also go back to your home and say, how am I being used?
Amen.
Because this is an important reminder.
I mean, Tim, I don't know about you, but do you raise JJ any differently than the other two?
No.
Yeah. Neither do we.
Other than he's a boy.
Yeah, he's a boy. Right. So it's a little narrow.
In today's day and age, we have to make sure we...
Yes, clear distinction.
Clear distinction.
Yes, we have two girls and one boy. But you made a great point. I mean, obviously, it's scripture. Psalm 127, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of a man's youth. And you mentioned the arrow, right? Well, who's doing the forming and the shaping? Well, it's our responsibility to do the forming and the shaping of the arrow. And, you know, I chalk it up to the two words that I always keep in mind when it comes to being a parent, right, is protection and provision. Mm-hmm. You know, there's physical protection, there's physical provision that we as parents were responsible for with our spouses and our children, but also that spiritual protection and that spiritual provision as well. All of those, they matter. Yeah. And I think that's a really, really great point that you just made that I think all of our parents just need to be reminded of. Yeah. I need to be reminded of it.
Amen.
Often. I'm not a perfect parent. So grateful
Katie's
for God's grace.
And
yes, she has. but we have a perfect and good God who, when we say, God, we need your help. These children are yours. Yeah. This is all yours. Yeah. I need your help in doing this in a way that honors you. It's amazing how God shows up and provides.
Yeah, I was just focusing on Genesis 26:25. It talks about Isaac. And, you know, they had dug wells, you know, Abraham and dug wells. They went in and they filled them in, and Isaac came back, and he had to redig the wells. And as they were going through this particular verse, it says that he built altars, he pitched tents, and he dug wells. And I was looking at that, and I was like, that's a great, kind of scenario, right, where it's laid out for you to understand the importance of these things, right? The building altars is the spiritual aspect, by far the most important, right? That's why he uses the word building, right? It takes time, takes effort, takes energy, takes, right, build your spiritual life. Then he talks about pitching tents. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, the physical part of our lives, right, it's important, but it's temporary, right? So don't spend so much time on the lesser things as opposed to the spiritual.
Right.
It's good.
But then once you get those priorities in order, right, and your mindset is on, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Right, you build the altars, you pitch the tents, well, then you dig wells, and then the entire community around you is thriving, and you leave a legacy for the next generation.
That's it.
And I'm looking at that verse, I'm like, that's a beautiful picture of what it means to live out the Christian faith.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about an intergenerational consciousness.
Yes.
We're talking about making a difference 400 years down the road.
Yes.
You know, it's the kinsman redeemer, if you want to really get into it. You can go back and look all through this idea of a kinsman redeemer. Yeah. Ruth and Boaz is just one picture of that, but it's all throughout Scripture that we come in and people who are in need, we redeem them. And how do we redeem them? We redeem them through our name. Mm. And that name, again, as adopted heirs of Jesus, we have that name of Christ associated with us. And so that it's all throughout Scripture, and that's a beautiful part. And getting back to prayer, just real quick, pray for this conference. I'm just going to look right into the camera.
There you go.
Pray for the conference, because when you get involved in this arena, you are getting involved in an area of supernatural, spiritual realities that Satan is not happy about. Abortion is infant sacrifice. There's no other way to look at it. And if you go back and look at the Mesopotamian cults, that was part of their nature. And so when a group of people step up and say, we are going to be an answer to this thing that's demonic, the demons hear that and recognize that. And so pray for protection. Pray that the Lord would overshadow this entire place and the people that want to attend. Because by doing so, we will, again, take children out of darkness, literally, and bring them into the kingdom of light in Jesus Christ.
You know what? Okay, since we have our parents with us, and it says where two or more are gathered, Christ is with us, why don't you pray for the conference now?
All right. That
sounds
great.
Our parents can join us as they pray with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Father, this is straight from your heart. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've been discussing today is a picture, is an example. It's not even a metaphor. It's a reality and a truth of what you did for us. And so, Lord, today we pray for the speakers. We pray for the building. We pray for the people who want to participate. We pray for everything that will take place on that day and every day leading up to it.
Yes.
But moreover, Lord, we pray for what's going to happen after. That hearts will be touched, lives will be transformed, and the kingdom of heaven will continue to advance and move forward as we truly recognize what it means to be chosen by you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Guys, thanks for your time. Thanks for just your obedience, not your sacrifice. Your obedience to the Lord in answering the call and being men of your family and men of God who are raising your families in a way that would honor the Lord with what he's given you. So I just want to thank you. Thanks for being my friends and doing life with us. And thanks for your service to our community, not only at the school, but at the church. You guys do a great job. So thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.